You truly do have a good, good Father. We have the perfect Father, perfect in all of His ways. In all of His ways, your God is perfect. Do we know that this morning? Do we know that God is perfect in all of His ways? I love that song, that He is perfect in all of His ways. I hope that this message is an encouragement to you. I hope it is a good reminder of what God has done for us. See, God has promised us certain things. Certain things God's promised to us, and they're sealed. They can't be taken away. See, many of us have a hard time understanding this because people break promises to us all the time. People break promises all the time. I've had promises broken in my life many, many times, but I'll tell you this. God never breaks His promises. He can't do it. It's outside of His character to break promises. He just can't do it. And I praise Him that He never breaks His promises to us. That's the God that we serve. It can't be taken away. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you standing on the promises of Christ? Are you standing on the promises of God? Are they your firm foundation or the thing that motivates you in life? They never change. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great precious promises, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. God makes promises. God makes precious promises. Verse 4, and this says, through these He has given us very great precious promises, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. His precious promises. See, the promises of God produce for us holiness. They produce perseverance. They produce effectiveness. Well, why is it so important for me to remember these promises? Why is it important to remember them? Because when we begin to remember the promises that God gives to us, we begin to be mature in our faith. Mature Christians, not lacking any good thing. We have everything we can possibly even need if we remember the promises that God gives us. See, knowing the promises that God gives us is the start. It's the beginning of our foundation in Jesus Christ. Knowing the promises that Jesus Christ Himself put in place is the foundation of your faith. Well, what are these promises? We're gonna let the Word of God speak quite a bit. This morning, we're going to look at a lot of verses. You're not going to have to turn there. I'll just read them. If you want to write them down, that's great. But I'm going to give just 4 promises. four promises that we have in Jesus Christ. There are lots and lots of promises, but I think these four sum it up quite well. Your first promise in Christ, forgiveness. Your first promise in Christ is forgiveness. Christ has died, shed his blood so that you have the forgiveness of sins. You have been redeemed through the blood of Christ and your sins are washed away, cleansed, white as snow. Your sins are as white as snow. Something that you couldn't possibly do yourself. You could never forgive yourself. It's only by the precious blood of Jesus that you can be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise, church. That is a promise. See, not only are you saved when you receive Jesus Christ, but God continually forgives us every time we confess our sins to him. He says he is faithful. To forgive you of all your sins and cling you from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Through God's blood, through Jesus Christ's blood, we have the redemption from sin. Redemption from sin. You couldn't possibly do this on your own. I couldn't possibly do it on my own. It only came through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the grace of God. The grace of God that you're saved, you're redeemed, your sins are washed clean. Psalms 103:10 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. You are forgiven. He's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. I can't understand for one second how great our God is. The grace that he gives us, overflowing rivers and rivers and oceans full of grace. Grace we don't deserve. Grace we don't deserve, but he continues to give us. He says, I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember them no more. No more. We don't have to live in our past, church. If you struggle with your past, listen to me now. You have been forgiven if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven beyond measure. And that comes through Jesus Christ himself. There is no way to the Father except through him. There is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I pray that we know that this morning. We have forgiveness. It's promised to us. It can't be taken away. If you have Jesus Christ, it can't be taken away. You're secured. Secured. What's the second promise? We have life. Church, we have life. We don't just have regular life or normal life. We have life in abundance. Life in abundance. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life more abundantly. To have more life abundantly. He says the thief's coming. He doesn't want you to have this life. He's going to come. The world's going to try to take this life away. But God promised you new life. New life in Jesus Christ. Can't get it anywhere else. You can't buy it. God gives us new life. 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you have Jesus Christ, you have life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. If you need a new life, ask Jesus Christ. If you need a new life, ask the one who gives new life. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We don't have to live in our past. We get a new life. What does that verse say right there? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. The new life is here if you have Jesus Christ. a life that you can't afford, a life that you didn't deserve, but God Himself gives it to you because of His overflowing grace. His grace, His grace, His grace that you may have new life. Will you take it, church? Will you take the new life? Will you take the new life that Jesus Christ so freely offers? But oh, wow, what a price. What a price that He paid for that new life. The price of His own Son on the cross. His own Son shed His blood so that you may have this promise that is secured in you if you have Jesus Christ. You have new life. New life. Are we taking advantage of our new life? Are we taking advantage of the life that God so freely gives to us? The life of abundance. Now, as I've said before, it's not life of possessions or possessions. That's not the life that Jesus is describing in that verse. It's a life closer than you could ever get close to God. A life that is filled with peace and hope and grace and mercy and compassion and love. Love that the world can't give, but an incommunicable aspect of God. A love that I can't understand why He freely overflows His love towards me. That I may live freely in this world. Not a life of sin, but a life to glorify God. That's what your new life's for. To glorify God, to be used for the kingdom of God. What a life to live. What a beautiful life to live than having a life that God says, go, and you go. That's a beautiful new life. That's the life that God gives us. Number three. This promise is to help you through the world. It's to help you with your new life. To help you remember the promises of God. This promise is the Holy Spirit. God gives us His Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit gives us power beyond measure. A power that we can't even hardly ever tap into. This power is beautiful. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are God's witnesses because of the Holy Spirit. Because we have God's Spirit inside you. Do we know this, church? Do we know that we have God's Holy Spirit inside of us to help us every single day of our life, to help us remember who God is in our life, to help give us boldness and confidence to come to the throne of God, a Holy Spirit that gives us intercession with God, that reconciles us back to God so we can talk to our loving Father. This is the Holy Spirit that if you have Jesus Christ, you possess. Ephesians 1:18-20 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance to His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. This Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This Holy Spirit that you possess is the same power that raises Jesus Christ from the dead. If only we could tap into that, church. Maybe if we could tap into this great, great power, we would see 2,000, 3,000 people come to Jesus Christ. Just like they did in Acts. Don't we want to see that again, church? Don't we want to see multiple people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would we want that? Because we know that it brings forgiveness, and we know that it brings new life. And I pray that you want that for not only yourself, but those around you. You want the same people around you to have this incomparably great power, this all-suppressing power that we possess so that we can be bold, church. We need to be bold. We need to be confident in the one that we serve. That's Jesus Christ. The one that we serve. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." You can't do any of this without Jesus Christ. You can't attempt to do any of it. You can't attempt to make an effect to the kingdom of God without Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See, He says, I'm leaving you something. I'm leaving you an advocate. I'm leaving you a helper. I'm leaving you a comforter, a counselor. I'm leaving you all these things so that you may have a life that is abundant. Listen to me, church. If you struggle with depression, can I tell you the Holy Spirit can help you with that? Maybe you don't have anyone that can help you with it. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is a counselor? That the Holy Spirit is a comforter? It's an encourager. He encourages me every single day that I might be effective, productive for the kingdom of God. Be effective and productive. I don't lack any good thing. And when I'm struggling, He's the one who picks me up. He's the one who picks me up. And I pray He does the same for you. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do anything. See, in 2 Peter, what we read, it says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to conform your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to stumble your whole life. But if you have the great power, if you have this all-suppressing power, you'll never stumble if you allow it to work in your life. It might look like you're stumbling from the world, but it isn't about what the world thinks. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. It is God who gives us life. It is God who gives us His Holy Spirit so that we might make an effect in the kingdom of God. So that we might lay brick after brick after brick in the kingdom of God. There is no greater thing that you could possibly doing in your life than making an effect for the kingdom of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your life. This is what we are called to do, church. Many of us shove this Holy Spirit as far down. If we have the Holy Spirit, we shove it as far down into our big toe as we can get. So we don't have to do what God wants us to do. Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, can I tell you, conviction comes, correction comes, repentance comes. Those things can hurt a little bit. But can I tell you, they will change your life more than any other thing. If I was never convicted that I was a sinner, I would not be here today. If I wasn't convicted that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ, I would never have the eternal glory that God gives me. I would never have His inheritance. I would never be adopted. It all comes through this Holy Spirit. It all came through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I pray if you feel conviction this morning, that you don't hesitate, that you don't shove it down to your big toe, but you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Allow Him to work. Number four. Last one. I don't normally have this many notes. Resurrection. It's the last promise. We're promised forgiveness. We're promised life. We're promised the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're promised a resurrection. Well, what do I mean by that? You have eternal life. Eternal life. That you may die in this world, but you will live forever with Jesus Christ. You will live forever with Jesus Christ. See, we don't deserve this eternal life, but God graciously gives it to us. John 11, 23 through 25. This is the story of Lazarus. He's going to tell Martha something. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Even though they die, they will live if they trust in the Son of God. It's the Son of God. See, God wants us all to experience this resurrection. John chapter 6, 39 and 40 says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none all those He has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is our hope, church. This is the hope that we have, that in the last days, or when you pass on, Jesus Christ will raise you up and seat you with Him. seat you with him in the resurrection. And God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone. That's not God's will. But those who believe, we have assurance, church. Assurance that we're going to heaven. It's a hope. It is the greatest hope. But it's a hope that the world doesn't even know. It's not a wishful hope. It's not, I hope that it stops raining outside. It's not that kind of hope. It's a hope of assurance. We know 100% if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. You are resurrected up. If Jesus Christ comes right now, if you're a believer in Christ, you're being raised up. You're going with him just as he was resurrected. Jesus Christ was resurrected. Therefore, we partake in the same resurrection. We get the same resurrection. Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Come on, church. A resurrection like his. There is no, you can't get it without Jesus. You can't get it without Jesus. He is the key. The Son of God is the key to the resurrection. He's the only one that was going to be raised the way he was raised. And he says, "I'm going to raise my children the same way." Dear children of God, you're going to be raised the same way. See, many of us just don't quite understand these promises of forgiveness, of life, of power, and resurrection. See, those four promises themselves should make us rejoice. Should make us overflow in joy, knowing the gracious God that we serve, the all-powerful God that we serve. See, we often forget the promises of God. Can I tell you that you need these promises? You have to have these promises in your life. You can't just say, "Well, I'll take one of these and not the other." That's not how it comes. You get all of them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you get all of these promises. And the world can't take it away from you. Your family, your friends, they can't take it away from you. They're given freely by our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, this is what we often forget. We have already won the victory. We have already won. We've already got the promises if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're already secured. You're going to heaven. Why do we live defeated lives then? Why do we live a life of defeat? If we're a Christian that has forgiveness, if we're a Christian that has new life, if we're a Christian that has power, power that we can't get ourselves, but the power of Jesus Christ, and if we have resurrection, meaning that it doesn't matter if you die, why do we live defeated lives? Why do we let the world walk all over us when we should have boldness and confidence? Confidence in our Savior Jesus Christ. See, when we understand these promises of God, listen to me, church, it draws you closer to God. The more you understand these promises, the more you let these promises work in your life, it draws you closer to God. And we know the passage. He draws closer to us. When we draw closer to him, he draws closer to us. And what a beautiful picture. A believer and his father. A child and his father close together. A loving father. Perfect in all of his ways. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Don't forget that God loves you. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. I want you to listen closely to this passage. This passage is also a promise. Romans 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate you. The world can't do it. Your family can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Nothing in this world could possibly be able to separate you from the love of God. It just can't happen. See, this church is a promise to us. It's a promise. We are more than conquerors because we've already won the victory. We don't have to fight a battle. We don't have to put all our effort in it. We don't have to do any of that because Jesus Christ won it on the cross. He won it on the cross when he shed his blood. He won it on the cross. He won it in the grave when he was resurrected. This is why we have victory over the grave, church, because of what your Savior has done. What your Savior has done on the cross that we might have victory in this life and victory after this life. We have victory. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. That's everything. That is possibly everything that Paul here could say. That's everything. Will be able to separate us from the love of God. Doesn't that comfort you, church? Does that comfort you to know that there's nothing that's going to separate you from God? Nothing that's going to cause God to love you any less? That comforts me. That comforts me beyond measure. I don't understand why I've done so many bad things in my life that God would possibly ever forgive me or give me new life or even give me the Holy Spirit, let alone the resurrection. But he says he has. He says he has. He's given us the assurance of the gospel. You understand that this gospel is one of the most powerful things that we have on earth? There's more power in the gospel than we ever realize. There's power to change somebody's life in the gospel. The message of God, that's what the gospel is. The message of God that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And he lived that perfect life straight to the cross. He lived it straight to the cross that your sins might be nailed to it. And he didn't die in the grave. But after 3 days, he rose again. And after he rose, he is seated by the Father. He's seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for you and I. Why would I want intercession? Why possibly would I want intercession? So that we might talk to God. Are we talking with God this morning? Are we talking with God, the one who gives us these promises, the one who continues to love us and give us overflowing grace? Are we talking with the Father, the one who says that if you ask, he is able, and he's able to do more than whatever you ask? More than whatever you ask. That's the God that we serve. The God we serve loves us unconditionally. See, many of us, we don't understand that. Because we ourselves have never been loved unconditionally. But we have a Father in heaven that loves us unconditionally. There's no conditions to his love. We read that here in Romans 8. There is no conditions. He's going to love you regardless of whatever you do. And that itself should produce in us effectiveness for the gospel. Effectiveness for the kingdom of God. So that we might be productive. Don't we want to be productive, church? You don't understand what happens when we're productive? People's lives are changed. When the church becomes productive, effective, not lacking any good thing, people's lives are changed. People see the power of prayer. People see God working in their lives all over the place. See, in the book of Acts, if you read it, you can't deny the working of Jesus Christ. Even though he's not there, personally. He's been raised up. You can't deny to see the power of Jesus Christ. Jail cells shaken, earthquakes everywhere, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, many of the people there thought that the apostles were gods because of the power that they possessed in all of them. Every single one said, "It's not us. It's not us. It's Jesus Christ." Are we saying the same thing, church? It's not us. It is not us. It is Jesus Christ who lives in you. It is Jesus Christ who lives in you that you're able to do the work of God. The work of God. So I want to ask you this question again. Are you standing on the promises of God? You hear that hymn? Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you standing on the promises of God? See, Jesus Christ is our foundation. It is what we stand on, and that foundation's got written on it forgiveness, that foundation's got written on it life, and that foundation has written on it power, and that foundation has it written on resurrection. That's what's written on your foundation. Sealed. Can't be carved out. Can't be erased. It can't. Listen to me, church. It can't be erased. Let's live victorious lives. Let's live the life that God gives us. Maybe you're a person here that struggles with their past. Maybe you just can't get past it. Maybe you just can't get past your past. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ can wipe it away? Can make it as white as snow. Make it as clean as it possibly can. And God's not so worried about what's on the outside, but He washes it where it's clean on the inside. It's clean on the inside. You couldn't get to it, but God gets to it. God wipes it away if we just allow Jesus Christ to work in our lives. See, don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Say, I'll stand on these promises tomorrow. I'll stand on these promises in a month. I'll stand on these promises when I retire or anything like that. Don't wait. Because can I tell you, Jesus Christ could come right now. And we should be happy. We should be happy that He comes right now. Because there is no better life than the life we have after this fallen world. There is no life better than we could possibly have than have eternal life in heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a life I can't wait. See, Paul, he was battling between, I want to go, I want to see Jesus, but there's still people here. Listen to me, church. The only reason why it's good that you're still here is so that others might be saved. What's it say? It says here, I got to find it. John 6:39-40, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who have given He has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. See, the Father's will is that everyone would be saved. That everyone, your family, your friends, maybe your spouse, would be saved through the Son, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. It all comes through Jesus. If you're trying to lead someone to the Lord, you better make sure you're using Jesus. You better make sure you're talking about Jesus. He's the one who saves. He's the one who saves. You can't do it. There's no special words you're ever going to say. It only comes through Jesus. It only comes through the cross. Don't wait to have your new life. Trust me when I say this. God has enough grace for you. You can't possibly say that, oh, there's just too many that's been saved. God's run out. God doesn't run out of His rivers of grace. He doesn't run out. He has oceans and oceans and oceans full of grace. And He has enough for you. He does. He has enough for you. So I'll ask it one more time. Are you standing on the promises of God? Let's stand. I want to read this passage one more time because